Good morning. You're listening to Voices from the Prison Action Network, produced by the Hudson Mohawk Independent Media Center. I'm Judith, and with us in the studio today, Deb Bozadeh is from New Paltz, and in New Paltz, the police department has just purchased four AR-15 semi-automatic assault weapons, and she's here to tell us how that came about and the particular significance it has to her family. Welcome to the program, Deb.
Thank you, Judith. I'm glad to be here.
Why don't you start off telling us about New Paltz and why it needs to purchase these heavy-duty assault weapons?
Well, I'm not really sure why they need them. Their thinking is that because of a crime my son committed almost 5 years ago, that they need these assault weapons in our small college town to protect themselves from, you know, anything that would happen similar, which I don't think that anything that happened 5 years ago is really pertinent to why they want to purchase these assault weapons now. They already have two, and they just got approved this past Thursday night by the town board to purchase four more to carry in their cars. I believe it's a real danger to the community, and from everything I've read in all the newspaper articles, a lot of folks in New Paltz feel the same way.
So how did this get passed?
Excuse me?
How did this get passed?
Well, it got passed by a vote by the town board on a 3-2 vote. Our town supervisor being the swing vote to approve the purchase of the weapons, which I believe they purchased on Monday. You know, there was an article. I first found out about it back in September 26th. There was an article in one of our local papers stating police want more assault rifles. And their reasoning, like I said, because of a crime that my son had committed, you know, back in 2001. And there was an officer who was quoted as saying, you know, that if he felt that his job was uncompleted when he did not kill my son, I was very upset at that. You know, my son was detained without, you know, any further injury. There was not a killing during his crime. There was an injury to a sheriff's deputy, but they detained him when he surrendered, and, you know, there was no killing involved. And it just upset me that this officer, you know, feels his job was incomplete because he didn't kill my son. And that was very disturbing to me. They were also stated by the council, a couple council people, Kitty Brown and another council person, that they were very disturbed by the fact that they wanted a weapon that will kill, rather than, you know, be able to take someone into custody, you know, without further violence.
Why don't you...
that at the demonstration of the AR-15 in front of the town board, that if they had had this weapon, my son would be dead.
Well, why don't I think you need to tell our listeners, if you don't mind, a little bit about the incident involving your son, so they can have a picture of what caused your police department to become so afraid.
Well, my son was a member of the community, very well known in town. We've lived in this town all our lives. He graduated high school in New Paltz. He had been suffering from some severe depression that he was trying to get some help for, and was put on a waiting list by Ulster County Mental Health. He never did get the help that he needed, and one night he flipped out, and he had guns, which I didn't approve of, but they were legally owned guns, and he went out into the street and started shooting his guns. And he, like I said,
Who was he shooting?
He was shooting at police cars and, you know, not really at anybody that I know of, other than the fact that, you know, he had injured a sheriff's deputy when he shot him in the hand. And he was sentenced to a 20-to-life sentence in state prison for his crime.
But you say that he surrendered. So.
Yes, he did. He surrendered his weapon. He dropped his weapon. And, you know, they detained him after a beating. And he was arrested and has been incarcerated ever since. And like I said, he's serving a 20-to-life sentence for this crime, not eligible for parole until 2021, with a life sentence at the end. So,
so did he have a jury trial?
No, he took a plea. He took a plea bargain because he was indicted on 19 counts, you know, including attempted murder, assault, reckless endangerment, you know, quite a few counts he was indicted on. So he did take a plea bargain for his crime. And, you know, I'm just really upset because I just don't believe the town needs these weapons, especially if they've already have two weapons. I mean, this kind of weaponry.
They already have two of these?
They already have two, and they just purchased four more.
So now they have six?
Now they have six, yes.
And how many police are there?
Oh, my gosh. I don't really know. Not that many. Like I said, we're not that big of a town. We do have the New Paltz State University here. The college students are very upset. From what I understand, there was over 100 college students at the town board meeting on Thursday night that were totally opposed. And the vice president of the student government was quoted as saying, you know, that she was very afraid of the police having these weapons. She's quoted as saying, New Paltz is probably the safest area you could walk in, and if you have these weapons, then how am I safe? And that was a quote from the vice president of the student government of the university. And you know, the village board had many objections, but like I said, the town supervisor was the swing vote to, you know, approve these weapons.
So basically, forgive me, but it sounds like they want weapons so they can be sure and kill
exactly
emotionally
exactly
disturbed and troubled people who lose control,
yes.
Which how often does that happen?
Well, it hasn't happened very often. I mean, you know, like I said, my son's incident, and I don't know of any other incident, you know, and, you know, like I said, he did surrender his weapon and without any further, you know, harm, and no one was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did he have any record of?
No, he had no record whatsoever, not even so much as a speeding ticket. He, like I said, he was a you know, a member of the community for many, many years, and very well known by folks in the community of New Paltz. You know, we were all quite shocked when this happened, and, you know, not only my family, but everybody that knew him. You know, he's a very kind, good man, and something went wrong, you know, something went wrong that night. And, you know, this can happen to anybody, which is what I've learned through all of this, you know. I mean, if you had said to me 5 years ago, you know, that this would have happened to my family, I would have thought, you know, no way. But, you know, bad things happen to good people sometimes, and this is what really frightens me, is the fact that, will it be someone else's son next time? And, you know, will he be dead? You know, I mean, I thank God every day my son's alive. In prison, yes, you know, but he's alive. And it really frightens me, the fact that these police officers in New Paltz feel they need these weapons. They have shotguns already, but they're quoted as saying that is Elmer Fudd's weapon of choice.
What is?
The shotguns.
Oh.
You know, they need the AR-15s, that the shotguns, you know, scatter shot, and they shouldn't be a first responder's weapon, that the AR-15s should be the first responder's weapon, because they kill, you know. And it's the shoot-to-kill attitude that is very disturbing to many, many people in the community and the college students. Mm-hmm. And personally, I'm just shocked that the town board approved the purchase of these weapons.
I just want to take a minute to tell our audience that they're listening to Voices from the Prison Action Network. And this is WRPI Troy. And you're listening to Deb Bozadeh from New Paltz talking about how her town just purchased shoot-to-kill weapons as their, what, first response?
Yes, as a first responder weapon.
It's scaring me just to listen to this. Because you think of how many people are stopped, suspected of things erroneously, and they could end up being dead.
Yes, yes. That's my concern.
And what about the rest of your family? What about?
Well, it's frightening to the rest of my family. I have another son that lives in this town. I have a mom and dad. I mean, we've lived in this town for 40 years. You know, it's disturbing that every time I hear anything about these assault weapons, that they refer back to my son's crime. That they keep using his crime as their reasoning to purchase these weapons. You know, I mean, you know, we've spent 5 years trying to heal from what's happened. You know, my son is serving his sentence. You know, he's not going to be paroled back here anytime soon. You know, I mean, 2021, that's a long time, you know, before he even sees a parole board. And that's not to say that he's going to be released at that time with a life sentence at the end. And it's very disturbing to my family to constantly see his name in the paper, and because of what he did, that they, you know, they're using this as their reasoning to purchase these weapons for a crime that happened 5 years ago. That, you know, most likely this type of thing will never happen again in this town. On a weekend, on a Friday and Saturday night, when college is in town, there are many, many, many people on the streets. There are many bars in town. You know, people are partying. You know, I just think it's a real danger to the community for them to have these weapons.
What seems obvious to me is that they had the weapons that they needed when your son did what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
supposedly
were able to...
I don't know if they had them 5 years ago. I don't know when they got the two that they had already. I'm not sure when they
but
got
did
them.
They use them in his...
Not that I know of.
Right. So
not
I'm that saying that whatever they did worked.
Mm-hmm.
It resulted in restraining him.
Absolutely.
And arrest, a fairly easy arrest, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
And I'm not really clear here why they think they need...
No
more weapons,
clear.
Since this seems to be one of the worst things that's happened, since they keep using it, and they sounds like they performed well, aside from beating your son up. It sounds like they...
Mm-hmm. He was detained.
Yeah.
And the town supervisor, Don Willen, who has just lost the election to, I believe, Hokanson, won the election for our town supervisor. Don Willen was the swing vote, and he's quoted in the paper as saying, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have police and we wouldn't have guns. Why not get the best?
Mm.
I just think that carrying a shotgun in every police car is adequate, and two AR-15s that they have already, I just don't see why they need four more of these semi-automatic weapons.
Mm. Our conversation seems a little bit too bad that it's after the fact.
Well, that's it.
I mean, I keep thinking, what can we do to stop this? But it sounds
I was shocked. I was away for a week, and I got back on Saturday, and I found out that the town board had a meeting on Thursday night, and the weapons, you know, were approved. You know, and the shoot-to-kill attitude, I mean, aren't they supposed to serve and protect the public, not a shoot-to-kill attitude? I mean, even the person that's committing the crime, I mean, isn't there a certain amount of protection that a police officer is supposed to, you know, show? I just... I mean, you know, you go back to Amadou Diallo, you know, 40 times they shot him in a doorway, you know, an unarmed man. You know, is this the kind of attitude that they want to have in a small college town? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. You know, I mean, I don't approve of guns. You know, yes, my son had guns. That doesn't mean that I approved of them, but they were legally owned guns.
And he was how old?
He was 25 at the time of the crime.
Right, so he was an adult.
Yes. You know, I mean, you know, anyone can go to a gun show, to a sporting goods store, and purchase these type of weapons. You know, this is the problem. You know, they're easy to get, and I just don't think responding with these type of weapons in a place like New Paltz, I mean, you know, a SWAT team, maybe, you know, a town police that are not trained in the use of these weapons. You know, I don't know if they've had any training in the use of these weapons, how to use them, you know. The only thing that they had said in the paper also was the continuous fire of these weapons was going to be banned so that they wouldn't continually fire, that they would fire one shot at a time. But as you know, they use, something called a clip that goes in that's got, you know, many bullets in it. And, after the fact and after these were approved, they go back to my son's crime, stating that backed unanimously by the commission, town police say the special rifles were needed, and they cited the 2001 shooting of rampage of a local resident, my son, is why they needed them. Mm. Why they need them now.
Yes, right.
You know, I mean, my son is certainly no threat to this town. You know, he's incarcerated, you know, hundreds of miles away.
So I can just imagine that every time this is mentioned, you see your son being shot by one of these weapons. It must be very painful.
It was very painful to think that, you know, these police officers wished my son dead. You know, why, you know, would anyone wish anyone's son dead?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's paying for his crime, you know. Why wish him dead now, 5 years later, you know, feeling that the job was uncompleted?
Right.
You know, I would think that I would have more respect if they had felt their job was completed because they detained him without further incident and didn't have to kill him, and no one else was harmed. You know, I would have more respect for someone that felt that way. I have no respect for a police officer that is supposed to be serving and protecting my community, saying that his job was uncompleted because my son wasn't dead.
Yes.
You know, it's very disturbing to me. I mean, you know, my mom is 81 years old. My father's 93 years old, you know, and you know, this is horrible for our family to have to, you know, see this in print over and over and over again, you know, and now using it as a reasoning for acquiring these weapons in a town that doesn't need these type of weapons.
We're going to have to wrap it up shortly, and I'm wondering, there's another issue here, too, which maybe talking about it can do something about it. You talked about the failure of the healthcare system.
Yes.
Tell us a little more about that.
Well, like I said, my son was suffering from some depressions. He had had a drug problem that he was kicking, and he was very depressed. He had other things going on in his life. He had tried to get some help from the Ulster County Mental Health Department before this incident happened, and desperate for, you know, for some counseling and some help to help him deal with his depression and whatever else he was going through. And they put him on a waiting list. And I feel that this same system that failed my son is the system that put him in prison. I think if my son could have got the help he needed at the time, that this could have been avoided. And the reason that he had to go through Ulster County Mental Health is because he had a job as a a contractor, and of course, no health coverage, which, you know, many Americans have very little or no health coverage. He didn't qualify for Medicaid. He didn't qualify for any of the other, you know, sorts of programs that the state has, Health in New York or whatever. And his only alternative was to go to Ulster County Mental Health, and they put him on a waiting list. A desperate person, you know, looking for help, and they failed him. Mm-hmm. And that system is the same system that put him in prison, you know, because I really believe that if he had gotten some help then, that this would have been avoided. I mean, only after he was arrested and put in prison did they put him on antidepressants, you know. So, I mean, what does that tell you about our health care system, you know? But,
Well, thank you for being on the program, Deb. I know this isn't an easy subject for you to talk about, but on the other hand, it's really good, I think, to let people know
and
what happens.
And I'd just like you to know that I'm headed down to New York City to the MCI rally and boycott. There's several of us here. We're leaving as soon as I get off the phone with you. That has to do with the unjust phone contract between MCI and the Department of Corrections, and we're rallying in Bryant Park at noon and then marching to Governor Pataki's office to, you know, be heard as one voice, to have our phone rates more just for folks that take phone calls from prisons, because right now we're being charged 630% more than a regular phone call would be, just because we have loved ones incarcerated in New York State prison system. Thank you for having me on, and
thank you, and have a safe trip down to New York City.
Thank you, Judith.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now.